the death of a spouse, the death of the insurance subscriber is in itself an event that can trigger exceptions. You know, if you're outside of open enrollment, but you've just lost your spouse, that triggers a special enrollment period, either on the marketplace or sometimes with an employer. So that if you've had a major change in your family structure like that, you can often make a change to your health insurance. And so you might find yourself in a position to choose health insurance.
Welcome to Financially Ever After Widowhood, the podcast where we empower women to take control of their financial future after the loss of a spouse. I'm your host, Stacey Francis, President and CEO of Francis Financial, an award-winning and nationally recognized financial advisory firm. With the help of incredible guests, I'm ready to guide you through this challenging transition.
Today in our podcast, we're going to be talking about a topic that you cannot ignore, and that is the sky-high cost of healthcare that is specifically for women. The widowhood effect is something that many of us face. After losing a spouse, women have a much higher risk of dying comparing to those who have not gone through that experience. Women who are widows also have, unfortunately, much more significant chance of prolonged lifetime illnesses. And what does this add up to? Well, it adds up to higher long-term costs when it comes to healthcare. It makes it even more important for women to make sure that they are going for the services, the checkups, and the preventative care that could actually save their life. We have not one, but two special guests. Beth Aglutino is the Chief Executive Officer of Healthy Women, and she brings to this podcast a unique combination of smart business expertise as well as women's health insights. She's worked in the healthcare industry for over 25 years, and she is one of the top experts on women's health issues. As a result of her leadership, Healthy Women was recognized as one of the top 100 women's health websites by Oprah Magazine. She's been in Forbes, many other magazines, and we're so excited to have her here. In addition, we have Deb Gordon, who's a seasoned healthcare and consumer advocate. She's the co-founder and CEO of Umbra Health Advocacy, as well as co-director of the Association of Professional Health Advocates. She is a health insurance guru and is able to share the insights that all of us need to make sure that we are having the care we need at a price that we can afford. So without further ado, please help me welcome our special guests today, Beth Batalino, as well as Deb Gordon. So we have such an important topic, particularly for widows. I know that healthcare costs have been increasing exponentially, sky high, and for a lot of women are the number one threat to their economic security. And so I'd love to just throw this up of who might want to answer first. Why are healthcare costs so high? Deb, Beth, what's happening here?
I can start. I think Beth has a very up close and real perspective on things she probably sees every day. I'll say just at a high level, obviously, we benefit in this country from lots of advances in pharmaceutical treatment and medical technology, and that's good. It also drives up costs. So that's one, is sort of like the good news, bad news is we have a lot of technological advances here, and that makes healthcare costs more. The sort of less positive side of things are on the, I would say, the insurance incentives with healthcare providers. So hospitals and doctors, clinics negotiate their rates with health plans or health insurers, and those negotiations aren't always tied to cost, or they're not always done with consumers in mind, or sort of the end user. What is the end user going to pay? They're more considerate of the business incentives or the business imperatives at the health plan and the hospital or the healthcare system. And so those negotiated rates can really drive things up in a way that can harm patients. And then I would say finally, misaligned incentives. So there is a movement to change this, but still most healthcare in this country is delivered on what we call a fee-for-service basis. So that means that every service a doctor provides or every test a hospital orders or conducts costs more. And if you're paying out of pocket a share of those costs as the consumer, you're going to pay more. That ultimately causes a lot of people to avoid going to get care. And Beth can speak much better to this than I can, but there's a lot of data that shows that when people avoid care, small healthcare problems become big ones. Big healthcare problems cost more to address.
100% Deb. Like I'm nodding as you're talking because we see it in practice. So not only, you know, do I have the privilege of heading up Healthy Women, but I'm also a practicing nurse. And so what could be, you know, a simple antibiotic, which is pennies, costs nominal fee to prescribe, people tend to put it off because they don't want to go to the doctor's office. Out of pocket, copay is high. So they put it off and then the infection gets worse, right? And then we have to admit them to the ER and they end up with a hospital stay. So the system is, you know, sometimes I say, is there really a system? I feel like it's broken, but I love the opportunity of the conversation because I feel like even people with insurance, there's barriers. And then when you think about underinsured or low income, you know, that's a whole nother bucket that we need to deal with because these people face challenges with healthcare costs and medical bills at a bigger rate than people with insurance. But even though you have insurance, doesn't mean that you're not in debt.
And, you know, Beth, you know this, I'm sure, better than I do, but studies have shown that your socioeconomic level is tied to your life expectancy. And the lower you are on that spectrum of financially stable and financially secure, the more likely you are to have a shorter life expectancy. And it, Beth, you know, really, I think it underscores what you're saying, that even people with insurance, the cost, the sheer cost of care can be just unattainable for a lot of Americans.
Right. And then that whole idea of preventative care, right? So with that cost, you know, they're putting off preventative screenings, preventative, if they know they have a family history of diabetes or cardiovascular disease, they're putting off maybe taking care of themselves because there's a cost affiliated. And women are notorious about putting everyone else in front of them, including their family dog, and putting their health care on the back burner. That's something that Healthy Women is working very hard on, is trying to shift this and say, you're not being selfish by putting yourself on the A-list, you know, and taking care of yourself, doing the preventative screenings, understanding your family health history will save your life. And in the end, will save money too.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be suffering from some of the chronic conditions that our grandparents may have suffered from, or even our moms.
You know, it's so interesting. It's so timely that you just said women tend to put everyone else in front of themselves, and including their dog. I just had a conversation with my husband. I'm on, and for all of you listening to Financially Ever After, I sound a little different. I'm dealing with a really tough cold. It's some type of virus, and I'm on day 10. And my husband said, you have to go see a doctor. It's day 10, Stace. You're only getting worse. And I think part of it is that I cough all night, so he's not getting any sleep either. But I turned around to him and I said this right in front of the children. I said, when am I going to have time to go to the doctor? And he's like, Stace, you always have time to go to the doctor because it's the number one thing. And Beth, my 17-year-old son chimed in, Mom, come on. You take the dogs to the vet. They never miss a vaccination. Go to the doctor. And I will tell you, I just ate my words. And thank God she gave me medicine. It doesn't sound like it, but I'm feeling better and I'm on the way. I find that particularly for widows, this is just even more exacerbated because they are caretaking of all those wonderful people around them who have also experienced that loss of their spouse, especially if they have children, whether they're young children or even adult children. Again, I see that often we're putting ourselves on the back burner not doing that preventative care and finding ourselves in a really bad, bad health situation.
I know. I couldn't agree more. And I think the role for women right now today and in your capacity and Deb's capacity and as healthy women, we need to really work together to change that. Because I cannot imagine going into 2024 and still telling people why it's important to get a mammogram and your pap test and to understand what your blood pressure numbers are. Because honestly, it's not okay just to be okay. We can do better and we should be doing better. And so I think that's a huge initiative for all of us to wrap our arms around. And it shouldn't be just, you know, when we look at women's health, a lot of us go through to right to like maternity, breast, like reproductive, but it's really head to toe. One thing that COVID taught us and taught us well is the importance of our mental health and starting from the head down. So it's really total health. And like, how can we get to your point, Stacey, as we think about widows who are not only managing the care of their family, but many extended family, they're still the caregivers for other people in their family. How can we remind them on the importance of taking care of themselves? And if they don't take care of themselves, they won't be there to take care of their family.
You make a huge point, a really important point, something I think that we all, I mean, I know myself have to be, you know, really reminded of. Back to the cost of healthcare. Many of us have heard about the pink tax that's levied on bikes. If it's painted in pink, it costs more than a boy's bike that's painted in blue. Razors for women are priced higher than razors for men. And this is actually also true about the healthcare system, which shocked me. Deb, can you talk about this? So women are paying more out of pocket in healthcare costs than men. Like, are you kidding me? Why is this?
It's true. It's totally true. It's interesting because the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, actually prohibits certain kinds of gender discrimination in insurance rate setting. So it used to be perfectly fine, perfectly legit, not fine, but perfectly legal for health insurers to charge women higher premiums because women use more and different services. So to account for maternity care and things like that. And that was seen as a kind of explicit pink tax, if you will, in healthcare insurance. With the Affordable Care Act, that's not allowed anymore. And so I think people might think, oh, we're done with that. But in fact, we're not. I wrote about some research that Deloitte had done. They did an analysis and found that among working age women, women paid more than $15 billion more than men. So these are people with the same insurance benefits, paying the same premiums with the same cost sharing, so the same co-payments and co-insurance and things like that. And women were paying more than $15 billion more than their male counterparts. And digging into why that is, it came down to utilization. So it is true that women generally use more healthcare services. So ironic to the last conversation, many of us hold back. I'll do anything before I want to go to the doctor. Yeah, I'm like you. I'm like, ah, who has time to be sick? Who has time to get treatment? So many of us avoid going to the doctor, but we do tend to use more services than men. And the specific services that women use more of were tied to co-payments and co-insurance, so costs that added up to that $15 billion. So for example, you mentioned mental health. Women use more mental health care than men. In the Deloitte analysis, they found that women were using more radiology, more lab services, more emergency care, more office visits, more physical therapy and chiropractic care, so more of lots of things, including mental health, as I mentioned. And so if you go to the doctor or you go to a clinic or get a service more often, and there's a cost associated with it, you're going to wind up paying more. And the sort of call in the Deloitte analysis is to really look at how those benefits are designed. It's a kind of perfect case of equivalent is not equal. So men and women may be on the equivalent benefits, but the costs are hitting people differently because of how we use services. And women need different things. Again, I defer to Beth, but women throughout our life cycle need certain kinds of screening, certain kinds of care that men just don't need. And we're paying, literally paying a tax for it.
Yeah, we're paying more. Beth, are there any, you know, unexpected expenses that we as women end up paying that kind of sneak up on us that are more hidden or unexpected?
I was listening to Deb, and you know what, Deb, it was so funny. All of a sudden, I was reading that Deloitte article that you wrote, and I didn't realize you wrote it. And so I'm reading that. I'm like, oh my God, our interview's going to be. And
it's like such a good article. Funny, I know the author.
I love it. And I love the ending. And I'm going to tee it up for you to talk about like what businesses can do, because I thought it was so brilliant. Like, I'm going to have to plagiarize this because it's really good. Anyway,
please do.
When we think about women, so like when we think about, okay, mental health, cardiovascular disease, the number one, heart attacks are the number one killer one. So when we think about preventative care and screening and putting off the symptoms of a potential heart problem or a heart attack, women are notorious. And when we think about autoimmune disease, that's another area, chronic condition that affects women at a higher rate than men. So women would be using specialists ongoing for longer periods of time. They would be diagnosed. I mean, still the diagnosis time is, there's a huge discrepancy. Someone in, you know, it takes 7 to 10 years to get a proper diagnosis still. And today, 2023, for some conditions. So you can see where something's going on. They're going back to different healthcare providers to try to get a diagnosis. And then once they get the diagnosis, then going and following up with that specialist, if they can find a specialist in their area too. So that's another hurdle too. Now we have decrease in primary care doctors. You know, you have people in rural settings that may not have access to a hospital, let alone, you know, a general practitioner or a specialist. So women have like a whole different type of list of diseases or conditions that affect them differently than males. And unfortunately, and I always say this to my moms, like once you have one baby, the more babies you have, the more cramps that you have, like it doesn't, like that doesn't decrease. Unfortunately, it gets worse as the number of babies you have. But it's the same with some of the conditions that women are diagnosed with. Like we're facing more chronic conditions. We're living longer with chronic conditions. So again, those are going to affect, you know, our healthcare costs long term.
And I've written a lot. I write a lot for Healthy Women. I write a lot for Forbes and others. And the number one sort of most engagement I've gotten, other than one article I wrote about ivermectin back in the day, was this, you know, pink tax, this, you know, women pay more for equivalent benefits. I got so much, let's say, argument just on, you know, posting it to my own LinkedIn profile, where people were saying, well, women live longer. I was like, that's true. And this is for a set age group. You know, comparing apples to apples, 19 to 64. And, you know, people said, well, women have babies, so they have to pay for maternity care. Yes, this analysis, they included it and they excluded it. So they looked at what cost differential between men and women with and without maternity care. And they found that actually maternity care had a very small impact on the overall trend. I just thought it was so interesting that this article generated a lot of like argument, like, well, the data, you know, that can't be right. It's sort of what people were saying. And here are all these other ways that explain something that seems fundamentally unfair. But they did a good job really isolating and comparing apples to apples. And those things were just not the factors that drove it to the different utilization patterns in healthcare, just as Beth was saying.
For me, that definitely shocked me. I expected, right, maternity, expected all these things. And, you know, when you dive into that article, you definitely realize that our usage of healthcare is just different. I want to talk a little bit about what we can do to prepare, to make sure we can afford the care that we need. And many of us have heard of the widowhood effect, which is an effect of a short period of time after the death of your spouse, the widow's likelihood of dying spikes. And it actually comes down after those short months, but it's still higher than someone who's part of a happily married couple. So that I read is, okay, now you've just, you know, lost the love of your life. Now you have to worry about your own mortality. And my gosh, what if you have children who really are relying on you? So how can you make sure that you are prepared for healthcare costs, that you are doing everything you can to make sure that you stay healthy, not only today, but for the long term?
I can speak to the sort of financial or insurance kind of aspect of things. And I think Beth can probably speak to the things we need to do to take care of ourselves, certainly much better than I can. And certainly it's a do as I say, not as I do kind of situation. I am her, the woman who doesn't always put myself first. So I think the first thing is to really make sure you are well covered with comprehensive health insurance. And I recently had a friend whose sister lost her husband, and he had managed all the health insurance. She didn't even know what their coverage was. And that's fine. Now it's time to figure it out. And so really understanding, making sure you have coverage, understanding the coverage that you do have so that you're not afraid to use it. I think that's really key. When people don't understand their benefits, and most people really, frankly, don't, they tend, and there's data to show this, that when you don't understand your benefits or the terminology or anything like that, you tend to avoid care more. And that's not a great recipe for your own health and well-being. So get good coverage and understand it. Don't fall for, if you find yourself needing to choose health insurance. So first of all, the death of a spouse, the death of the insurance subscriber is in itself an event that can trigger exceptions. You know, if you're outside of open enrollment, but you've just lost your spouse, that triggers a special enrollment period, either on the marketplace or sometimes with an employer. So that if you've had a major change in your family structure like that, you can often make a change to your health insurance. And so you might find yourself in a position to choose health insurance or review your benefits. And I would just say, don't fall for what looks like the cheapest plan. I would use air quotes in the cheapest plan. A lot of people look at premiums only and say, well, this one has lower premiums, so it's cheaper. But that one might have a much higher deductible, which means you're paying every dollar for the care you use until you meet the deductible. Or it might have a very high out-of-pocket maximum, which will, again, mean you're paying out-of-pocket. Your co-payments, your co-insurance will stop once you meet your out-of-pocket maximum. So the higher the maximum, the longer you'll be paying in. So really look at the comprehensive view of cost of your health insurance. And then keep in mind that if you're on COBRA, if your spouse was on COBRA, you can very likely extend that coverage in the event of the death of the spouse, the subscriber.
So another thing that helping people afford the cost of care is opening a healthcare flex spending account. And just to let everybody know that's listening, for 2024, this number has actually been increased to $3,200. And what's powerful about this is that $3,200 that you're putting into it, by putting it into that account, depending on your tax rate, but you are saving on your taxes, possibly even $1,500. So using pre-tax dollars to pay some of these expenses can definitely help. Do you see that too, Beth and Deb?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes some people's heads spin, to be honest. So I always say, you know, there are experts, there are people who live and breathe this kind of stuff and can explain the tax benefits of these accounts. And there are different kinds of accounts. So you really want to make sure you understand what you're getting into. So there are accounts that roll over, there are accounts that don't roll over. And I always defer to an expert. So an insurance expert or, you know, financial planning expert. But absolutely, we leave a lot of money on the table just because we don't understand it. I say we because we just chose our benefits. And I explained the options to my husband, and he did not like the setup of the plan that would have had these really a triple tax benefit. He was like, nah, that sounds scary and complicated. So we, you know, knowingly left money on the table. That way, that's fine. Just know why, what you're doing and why. So if you're leaving money on the table, it's for some other benefit, peace of mind or ease of use or something like that.
Yeah. And I will say, this is something that your financial advisor eats for breakfast. They know this stuff or should know this stuff inside and out. And they can help you not only with a flex spending account that you would have through your employer, that's going to be offered to you through your employer, but they can also help you understand what's called the health savings account, which is actually an account that you can contribute to for 2024. It's $4,150. If you're over age 50, you can put an extra $1,000 in. And again, this is all pre-tax money. What's beautiful about it is that you can take this money out to help with healthcare costs, or you could leave it in and invest it in the stock market and have it grow and even help you in retirement. But there are definitely issues and limitations. You have to be enrolled in a high deductible health care insurance plan. So there are some things, but again, this is where you want to lean on your financial advisor. Any good financial advisor worth their weight is going to be able to tell you all the information you need. And between the two, the amounts that we're talking about, you could be easily saving $3,000, you know, potentially even $4,000 a year in taxes, which, bless, that really does add up. What do you do if someone can't afford care? They receive bills that they can't pay. Do you have any strategies to help, how to speak up for yourself, how to advocate for yourself? Are there ways to have bills reduced?
There are. And so here's what I can tell you. Do not pretend that they're not on your countertop. Open them up. Like, don't pretend they're your calculus book and they're pushed to the corner and you'll get to them at some point. Just open it up and, you know, read them and understand where you're at, right? Because I think it's just knowing where you're at is the most important part of the start. And then calling. A lot of hospitals, they just want to hear from you and be very honest. Maybe make an appointment, because now they have divisions in hospitals where you can meet with accounts payable and say, here's my situation. You know, I can't afford this entire bill, but maybe you can work out like a monthly payment plan. And now they have different foundation grants that they can pull from and help maybe cover portions of it. But if you don't talk to someone and you keep throwing out those statements that you receive, it's just going to get bigger. And all of a sudden it becomes a tsunami. Even with prescriptions, if you are at a healthcare provider and they put you on a prescription and you're like, I can't afford this, you know, maybe they have samples that they can give you and get you through the first 3 months. And a lot of pharmaceutical companies have patient assistance programs where they can get reduced prescriptions to help you. And then there's great organizations like Cancer Care is an organization that we work really closely with that, God forbid, if you're diagnosed with a cancer, this is an organization that can hold your hand. They can help with finances. They have a calculator to help you understand what the costs are. There's opportunities to figure out how you can get the cost reduced. They have different types of, whether you need a driver to drive you to appointments. It's a wealth of information and resources that can help you. So just know that you're not alone. There are a lot of people, you know, that are in the same situation. But there also are a lot of resources now that are available, and it's just picking up the phone and starting with your healthcare provider's office. If you get the bill and letting them know that there is a problem, maybe you just lost your husband or significant other and you're, you know, just trying to figure out what the next steps is and if you can have some leniency, that's the first thing. But there always are ways around, but you need to speak out.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. I mean, we are big users of healthcare in our family. And I do have to say, I get overwhelmed a little bit with submitting claims, making sure that I'm being reimbursed. I'm sure that I'm missing things. I'm sure that there are some claims that are either being denied or maybe the diagnosis code was not put in correctly. And that might have been me putting that information in incorrectly. I can only imagine that there's been some mistakes that I've made that I'm just not tracking as closely as I should. And I just got the mail yesterday and I had 5 bills from United. They're actually not bills, but they're United Healthcare. Their explanation of benefits of services that I had inputted to be reimbursed. And I will tell you, I look at them, they're usually about 6 pages long for one bill, and I just get overwhelmed. So ideally, I would get on board and I'd educate myself and I'd have the patience to just really go through that. But are there people that you can hire that have this expertise, especially if you're facing significant bills that you're paying off from your spouse when they were receiving healthcare during their lifetime?
Absolutely. So I am the co-director of the Alliance of Professional Health Advocates, and I have been in healthcare a really long time and did not know for many of those years that you could hire someone to help you with all of that. And what's beautiful, so we have many members in our network who it's literally what they do. It's their bread and butter. Just like you said, the financial planner eats this for breakfast, knows how to handle a flex spending or a HSA. There are patient advocates who just know how to press the buttons to find value in help you beat down a medical bill. They know how to read the explanation of benefits, the famous, this is not a bill. They will often compare that to your medical records and look for discrepancies. Some of them know the codes, literally the billing codes, and can see just with the naked eye. You and I couldn't. It sounds like you couldn't. Most people can't. But these are folks who have, for example, spent 5, 10, 20, 30 years, you know, in billing, in medical billing, and claims submission, claims resolution on either the provider side or the insurance side. They can look at it and say, that's the wrong code, but the right code is XYZ. And they can help fix what's wrong. They know how to talk to the financial offices in these provider organizations. They know how to help you file for a request for financial assistance. And they can just take that worry, that paperwork, that I would call it sort of gobbledygook, off your plate. It's not Greek to them. They know how to speak that language. They can look at it. They can navigate it on your behalf. And there's no guarantee that they'll make a bill disappear. But if it can be done, a professional can make it so.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was having this conversation about medical bills from a deceased partner with a trust and estate attorney. And I don't think all trust and estate attorneys do this, but she did share that part of their services is that they do reach out to all of those medical providers, let them be notified that the person is deceased, and are able to often negotiate pennies on the dollar. And so that's another resource that, I'll be honest, I didn't think of either, to be at least help with those bills previously that were incurred during your spouse's lifetime. This has been amazing. We're coming to the end. Any last minute things or just words of advice that you have for the women who are listening who want to live a healthy, happy life, but again, are listening in because they want guidance. They want guidance. And I know healthcare is on many of our minds. And if anything, will become even a bigger part of our lives as we continue to age.
Even listening to you, Stacey, when you said, I should know this or I should look more closely, I'm not being critical. I just think there's no should here, especially if you're in grief and you're finding yourself in a new or ongoing difficult situation. You know, there's no should. Nobody knows this. Most people don't know this stuff, and most people don't want to deal with it on the financial side of healthcare. And there is no rule book. There is no class that I've ever seen that sort of teaches us as we become adults. Now, here's your healthcare class and here's what to do. Most people don't know. And so there is absolutely no shame, no, frankly, expectation that the average person or the exceptional person, which I'm sure everyone listening is, would know how to manage this, especially in difficult times. And so I think the reality is this stuff is complicated. It's messy. If you think you made a mistake entering claims, let me assure you, it's probably not your error. Maybe, sure, we all make mistakes, but there are errors up and down the healthcare system. And you can't be expected to find those and, you know, even know to look for them. So lean on help, lean on experts, lean on helpers. Allow the friend or family member who wants to be helpful, like, let them look at it. You know, you've got enough to deal with. So allow yourself to get help with the financial, bureaucratic, terrible stuff. Don't expect more of yourself than is reasonable. Really, nobody knows.
Deb, I love you. I mean, you're right. I feel like we need to stop the shoulds. I mean, I just did it, right? I just did it. And the other piece that I'm so happy that we got into this podcast is ask for help. All those people that say, if I can do anything, right? This is one of them. This is one of them. Thank you so
much.
And
I say too, it's just sort of a last thought on that. It's actually like a gift to your friends who love you to let them help.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned I have a friend whose sister lost her husband. I didn't know him. I barely know the sister, but I sure called around to find out some rules about, you know, how does COBRA work in the death of a spouse? And I felt like it was just the smallest way to be helpful, just to answer a question.
Yeah.
And I could sit on hold and I could kind of fight for my friend's sister because it's just so much easier to advocate for somebody else sometimes. And so it's actually like a generous thing to let people help.
It's a way of their healing and helping. Beth, what are your thoughts?
Okay, ladies, you stole all my sound bites.
Oh, stop.
All I can say is, yes, do not be afraid to ask for help, because I feel like for many of us, we need to control everything. And like, it's so hard for us to actually ask for help. But I think at this point, hitting the pause button and taking a deep breath is so important. And asking for help and saying that you don't understand or don't know is okay, because most of us don't. And I learned so much during our conversation today. And I head up a healthcare organization and I'm a nurse. So you're constantly learning. And how great it is to continue to learn and know that financial advisors can also provide some help in navigating the healthcare system. And you're the great organization, Deb, that you belong to, the Alliance for Patient Health Navigators, is amazing. You know, so it's just raising awareness about these great organizations and understanding where you're at is so important too. So don't be afraid about opening the statements. And if you have questions, asking for help or asking for, you know, help financially or just help for someone to come and sit with you, as you so eloquently said, Deb, and just going over or saying, giving them permission to take them and help you figure out what is the right path for you is so important. And understand your healthcare benefits. So if you're listening now, it's the people that, well, my husband handles all the finance. Start educating yourself too and understand what health benefits you have, who's the insurance carrier, and making sure that you're happy with the coverage too. It should be a joint decision.
Well, thank you so much for being here, to both of you, Deb and Beth. One of the most fantastic podcasts we've ever had. Everyone listening, I knew we threw around a lot of really important organizations, and I want you to know that all of this is in the show notes. As I mentioned, Beth is the Chief Executive Officer of Healthy Women. We have a link for you there. And I also mentioned that Deb is co-founder and CEO of the Umbra Health Advocacy. So we have a link for that, as well as the Association of Professional Health Advocates. Now, you may also wonder, we talked a little bit about an article about the pink tax and how that impacts women's health. So I'm going to make sure that there's a link to that article. And then also the book that Deb wrote, The Healthcare Consumer's Manifesto, How to Get the Most for Your Money. And so there's so many wonderful things for you there in the show notes, as well as great information on how to make sure that you're making the right decisions. Thank you so much for being here, Deb. Thank you so much for being here, Beth, and sharing your absolute passion, your wisdom, and unbelievable insight. I do have to say that this podcast, as we started out talking about the pink tax, not only on razors and pink bikes, but unfortunately also on medical care for women, definitely really struck a chord with me. And I'll be honest, made me angry. But by the end of the podcast, I have to tell you that armed with the education and the knowledge that both Deb and Beth gave, I feel empowered. I feel ready to speak up for myself, to take a greater role in healthcare for my family. And I actually have to say, healthcare for me. One of the things that Deb said is the should, that I should know this. Well, I'm glad she caught me on that and she called me out. I find too that a lot of the clients that come to us also say they should know this. I should know more about my finances. But you know what? How would you? Maybe you don't have the experience or the education. No one's really sat down with you. If that's the case, please reach out to Francis Financial. We'll help you with your finances, not only today, but as you age, ensuring that you can cover the healthcare costs that you need to, that you have comprehensive health and a healthy, wealthy, and happy life. Please reach out to us at www.francisfinancial.com, or you can reach me at Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, at francisfinancial.com. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Financially Ever After Widowhood. If there's a question you'd love for us to answer on the podcast, we can do that for you. All you have to do is give us a call, and the number is 347-682-5580. Let me say that again, 347-682-5580. Whether you're working with an advisor or you're maybe doing it on your own, we invite you to reach out to us at www.francisfinancial.com, or you can email me at Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, at francisfinancial.com. Our hope is to be a resource for you to help you also find a great financial advisor, whether that be with our firm or one of our trusted colleagues. Please be sure to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast, and join us next time on Financially Ever After Widowhood.